With great power comes great responsibility.
Compromise where you can. Where you can't, don't. Even if everyone is telling you that something wrong is something right, even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye, and say no. You move.
Never step onto the battlefield of ideas unprepared. Before you enter the fray, you need a plan. And there's no better place to get one than right here on Tactics with host Caleb Colquitt. The Situation Room goes live now on News Radio 1440.
And good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us, whether you're joining us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live, or Periscope. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Welcome in, fellow tacticians. A couple of housekeeping things before we actually dive into the news. First of all, it is, of course, July the 3rd, and that means that tomorrow is Independence Day, so get excited. We're having a big Independence Day extravaganza tomorrow. Today we're going to have a little bit of a shorter episode, so I'm pulling a Kingdom Hearts and doing a 99.5 instead of 100. So how exciting is this? Episode number 100 is actually going to be on Independence Day. I didn't plan that, it just happened to work out that way. We're doing a little bit shorter episode today just because it's Wednesday, I gotta get to church. But by the way, speaking of that, I've got a couple of ideas. I've got a couple of ideas about what the show should look like and how we can integrate that into a church service in some way, because now that the show starts at 6 and my church starts at 6:30, that's obviously causing some scheduling difficulties. So would you rather just see a shorter show? Or if you have any suggestions, feel free to comment. Feel free to email me at tacticsradio@gmail.com. You can tweet me at tacticsradio as always. Whoop, wrong side there. There, at tacticsradio. You can always do that. So just whatever suggestions you have, we've got a plan right now and we're thinking about integrating it, but I'd love to hear any suggestions that you have for that. Now, it is time to go ahead and get on to some of the local news of the day. The big local news, and this one is even more local than I usually go because I typically just try to keep it statewide politics, but something is actually happening right here in Montgomery that I find fascinating and honestly maybe even a little bit disturbing. There was a new law that went through the city council this week, and what they have effectively done is increased penalties, which I didn't even know it was against the law to begin with, but apparently it was. They are increasing penalties and trying to increase enforcement of laws against panhandling in the city of Montgomery. Now, I didn't realize that this was even a thing. I didn't realize that it was already against the law, that it was already on the books that you couldn't panhandle. I don't know if Prattville has a similar law. I have seen people panhandling right next to the interstate exit up there at exit 172, and I've certainly run into my share of panhandlers here in the city, so I understand why there is a concern, I guess, but I'm a little confused as to the solution. This strikes me as very, very odd that they're actually putting up laws against panhandlers, and look, to a certain degree, I get it. It's annoying. It is something that you would just rather not deal with sometimes, but sometimes these people really do need help. Now, it's not uncommon for people to be panhandlers that are taking advantage of the situation. John Stossel, a famous journalist who has a show now on Fox News, I think it's actually on Fox Business, but anyway, he did a special sort of an undercover thing, which he, you know, has always excelled at, sort of these undercover exposés. And he did a special on this and showed that panhandlers actually make really good money, and a lot of them aren't actually poor. They just use panhandling as a way to supplement the income from the job they already have. So I get that there's the worry of it being something that's like that, or you worry about the money that you're giving them being used for things like drugs as opposed to food or to better themselves. I understand that mentality. And it's something that concerns me as well, but the idea that the city can regulate people walking up to people and asking for help, asking for a handout. I mean, what happens if, for example, you are in a situation to where you run out of money, maybe your credit card gets stolen, something like that, and you need like, I don't know, 10, 20 bucks just to get home. And it's not ideal, but the only thing that you can come up with is to just ask some people on the street if they wouldn't mind helping you out. Well, technically, you wouldn't be in violation of the law, as I understand it. Now, maybe Fred Bell or Archley or some of the other city council members can get in touch with me and explain to me exactly why that would not be the case, or explain to me their rationale behind supporting this bill. And you know, full disclosure, I like Fred Bell. I don't think I've met Archley. But I've met most of the city council members. They all seem like, you know, decent folks, even if I don't agree with a lot of their politics. But I'm really confused as to this. This seems like a very uncharitable thing to do. And I don't mean charity in the general sense that we talk about giving things to people. I mean just love and compassion for your fellow human being. This seems like an incredibly uncharitable thing to pass as a city ordinance that you can't solicit money from people and those people can't then give to the poor. Now, some of the rationale that I have heard that I've seen in public statements, I think this one was specifically from Fred Bell, but if I'm, you know, misquoting, please take this with a grain of salt, do your own homework. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but his rationale essentially boiled down to, well, it can be a danger if they are running to different vehicles while the light is red and trying to get money from those people. Yeah, I agree. That makes sense. My question is, wouldn't that be a reason for a law against doing that as opposed to just panhandling in general? I mean, if you are a person that is panhandling on the side of an intersection or on the side of an off-ramp or something like that, and you run out in front of a car to try to get the money from somebody, that's public endangerment. But that's an excuse for passing a stricter traffic law, not an excuse for passing a law that bans panhandling altogether. And that's really the problem that I have with this law. There are legal ways to do what you say that you want to do to accomplish the goal that you're saying, at least you're stating that you're trying to point out, without necessarily getting rid of panhandling or begging altogether. And I just really don't like that. And I also don't like the mentality that they've been taking on this, because in all the public statements I've seen from Bell and Arch Lee, one of the things that seems to be a running theme is, well, we have city services to provide for these people, and essentially the government's going to take care of it. Well, that's about as un-American an idea as you could get, to that the government is going to take care of people as opposed to private citizens out of the goodness of their own heart taking care of people that they see in need on the street. No, that is the opposite of what we need. We need more people that are willing to help out those that are less fortunate on the street. And I know that the immediate response to that is going to be, well, these people never want to better themselves. They're not trying to get ahead. They're just trying to bum off of people, and they may be fueling some kind of drug addiction, and they're homeless and they choose to remain homeless. Look, I get that. I really do. I totally understand that. And that being a problem. And it's why I changed the way that I deal with panhandlers myself. Because keep in mind, I'm a radio guy. And it was not uncommon for me to do biscuits games or things of that nature, where I would be getting out of the radio studio really late at night in downtown Montgomery. I had no shortage of panhandlers that would just walk up to me and ask me for money. And I guess I look rich, because I've seen them pass up other people to walk specifically to me. Now, I'm a radio personality, so I'm pretty much broke. So I don't know why I'm the target in that. But nonetheless, this is something that has happened to me pretty regularly. In fact, there's one guy that hangs out around downtown Montgomery. If you've been walking around there enough, you've probably run into him. The guy's named Johnny. And he's been on the cusp of starting a job for a really long time now. In fact, I can't tell you the number of times he's approached me. I think he just doesn't remember who I am. I can't tell you the number of times he's approached me to tell me that he's starting a job on Monday and he just needs something to tide him over for a little while. And the reason that I bring this up is because the problem with what you're talking about, the problem with people panhandling and causing problems and causing danger to other people when they run across the road or distract drivers, the problem with that and the way to solve that is not a government mandate. It's to change how people deal with panhandlers. And this guy, Johnny, that does this, the way that I handle that and the way that I handle several other panhandlers that have come up to me in downtown Montgomery is I never give them money. I don't turn them down. I don't turn my back on them. I just don't give them money. Now, if they need something, if they need a place to stay warm or something like that, if they need a ride, if they need a meal, I have provided that for them. But I never give them something that they could just use to fuel any kind of drug addiction that they may have or anything like that. The best thing to do is to take them to a restaurant yourself and either buy them a meal and send them on their merry way, or, and I actually prefer this method, if it's around a time to have a meal and you haven't eaten yet, sit down and eat with them. Talk to them. And, you know, get to know them a little bit. Maybe even winds up being an opportunity to tell people about Christ. That's really, in my opinion, the best way to handle something like this. But see, that's an opportunity that may not even show up anymore because people are afraid that the law is going to crack down on them if they do that. That is not a good policy. It's not a good policy from a logical perspective. It's not a good policy from a freedom perspective. And what actually concerns me, perhaps most of all, is that it's not a good policy from a spiritual perspective. We see countless times in the New Testament that there are actual examples of the apostles meeting people that were begging and spreading the gospel of Christ through those opportunities. And so I really do not like this idea that we're going to make panhandling itself illegal. If we want to make the actions that panhandlers are doing, like running out in the road to try to get a donation or something like that, okay, that's fine. Make that illegal. But don't make the act of panhandling, the act of coming out and asking somebody for donations, don't make that in and of itself illegal. I mean, sometimes you don't want to deal with it. Sometimes you're on your way home and you're thinking, gosh, I just want to get home. I've had a long day at work or whatever. Look, I get that. I've done stuff like this when I was not getting home till about midnight. So I understand that sentiment. But that's not an excuse to turn your back on the poor. And you may have some scruples, like I said, about giving somebody cash because they might use it for any kind of nefarious ends. But the best way that we can handle this problem, the best way that we're not going to have people running across the street trying to get money, is when people stop giving them just cash. If I see somebody on the street and offer to go take them and get them a meal, well, then they're not on the street anymore. And they're not bothering people and they're full. And so this is really the best way to handle it, in my opinion. This needs to be a change of the people of the city, not a change of government policy. All right, since it looks like I have church in just a few minutes, we're going to go ahead and jump to the Daily Dose of Stupid.
No, you messed it up. You're stupid.
And today's Daily Dose of Stupid, you got to love this one. Another Chick-fil-A incident, and I am going to be taking part in Chick-fil-A at some point this week, probably, because this came out. I've made a promise, and I've kept my promise, I've kept my word, that every time a liberal goes after Chick-fil-A, that I was going to go and eat at Chick-fil-A. But here's the thing, I don't know that I actually have to do it this time, because the person that's attacking them kind of did this for me. And if you're wondering what the heck is going on, it's actually pretty simple. So we'll go ahead and look at this. This is a post on social media from a gay activist. So this is the picture that she posted. So it's got a big protest sign. I'm guessing this is not her. This may just be a generic picture she pulled off the internet. Hey, Chick-fil-A, hate is not a family value. And then underneath, little does Chick-fil-A know that they accepted gay money. So this is some kind of gay rights advocate who went to Chick-fil-A and apparently bought lunch there because she's got a sack of food and a Chick-fil-A cup out in front of a Chick-fil-A. And gosh, I love this one so much. Boy, you showed them. The way that she's going to get under Chick-fil-A's skin and really irk them is that they're taking gay money. I'm pretty sure money's not gay. I'm pretty sure money's not straight either. It's an inanimate object. I don't believe it has a sex drive of any kind. But apparently her money is gay money. Does that make my money straight money? I don't know. Maybe all my dollar bills are straight. I don't have very many of them. But nonetheless, so here she is essentially suggesting that she is somehow undermined and really stuck it to Chick-fil-A by buying their products, which is kind of the purpose of a business. Yeah, you showed them. But here's the weird thing about this. She just shot her own argument in the foot. Because the whole premise of this, and you can see by the graphic that she put on top, that the assertion is that Chick-fil-A hates gay people. Well, here she is, a gay activist, wearing a pride shirt. If you don't believe me, take a look at this picture again. She's wearing some kind of rainbow pro-gay shirt, I assume. So I can't read the text on there, so it's hard to tell because you can't see that exactly, but presumably somebody that is outwardly showing that they're gay and going to a Chick-fil-A and trying to pull a fast one on them by eating their food and paying them for it. Again, I don't get how that's a punishment for them, but whatever. And she does so wearing some kind of gay pride t-shirt. So the people in Chick-fil-A obviously knew that she was a gay activist and still served her. Well, that's weird. It's almost like the people at Chick-fil-A don't hate gay people and are willing to serve gay people. See, she just proved that Chick-fil-A actually is tolerant of gay people. She just shot her own argument in the foot. I love it when people do that. I love it when people, by the very fact that their argument exists, undermines their point. I think that's absolutely hysterical. But when you're looking at this, and really what it does show is it highlights one of the best things about capitalism, one of the best things about the free market. She clearly is enjoying her Chick-fil-A, or at the very least enjoying the drink that she's sipping on. She enjoys Chick-fil-A. And the people at Chick-fil-A, they do have family values. Their owners are devout Christians that have traditional views of marriage. And yet, because of the free market, this person wants a chicken sandwich, the other person wants to serve them a chicken sandwich, and so they put their differences aside to engage in a voluntary transaction where both people get something that they want. That's what a free market is. Because I think that, and I know that this is controversial and people are going to get upset at me for saying this, I think that you should be able to refuse people business for any reason. Any reason at all. You want to deny somebody business, I think that you have the right to do it. It's dumb, but you can do it if you want to. So for example, let's say that there really were a person that were out there that was homophobic and had a big sign out front, "No gays allowed." Well, that's not only going to hurt his business from homosexuals that might want to patron his shop, it's also going to hurt his business from people that don't like the fact that this guy is unwilling to serve somebody with different views than him. And to be honest, I'm not sure that I go into that place just because, you know, homosexuals, they're people too. They're people that are caught up in sin, but who isn't caught up in sin? I'm not saying that we give it a pass. I'm not saying that we say your lifestyle is okay and you don't have to change anything. No, we teach them the truth about the gospel. But if you're talking about engaging in an open exchange, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be able to do that. Now, it's a little different in the case of, for example, the gay bakers, where you're saying, okay, I want you to specifically craft something that asserts that I am correct. I mean, that's a different ball of wax entirely. But the thing is, the principles of free market, the principles of capitalism, they encourage and reward people that put aside their differences of opinion to say, look, I don't agree with you on everything, but I really need my lawn mowed and I'm willing to pay you for it. Look, I don't agree with you necessarily on everything, but I would really like to have my bathroom redone. I mean, whatever good or service that you're involved in, that is true. How many Christians completely disagree with certain things that are supported by companies like Starbucks or Target, and yet still go there because they want the product? And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And so the idea that a free market really, this is just a huge example of the way that the free market brings people closer together and encourages them to have a conversation and to work together, even if they disagree with one another on a number of issues. It's part of the beauty of capitalism. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and head to church because I've got to zip over there in about 3 minutes. So I will be heading over there. Luckily, I'm close by. That's going to be our show for today. Don't forget our big Independence Day special tomorrow. Stay the course, friends.
Tactics is a production of News Radio 1440 and Cumulus Media Montgomery. Any opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cumulus Media. The theme song for Tactics is 6 Foot Town by Big and Rich. Graphics by Jessica Dawson. Broadcast studios provided by Cumulus Media Montgomery. Location studios provided by the Dalreda Church of Christ. Copyright 2020.